For that reading, Psalm 100, as the psalmist magnifies the name of God and thanks Him for His goodness, His everlasting mercy, and His enduring truth. It's those elements of God, among many others, that call our attention to the thanksgiving that we ought to give to Him, not only in an assembly like this, but every day of our lives. And so our study this morning is going to reflect upon that and meditate upon those things as they have particularly been revealed to us in the 96th Psalm. And we'll turn to that and begin to consider that momentarily. But I want to add my word of welcome to everyone, particularly visitors. We thank you for being here. We hope we can encourage you in the things of God, and we hope that by your presence that you will be able to give God the thanks that He is due as well, that each of us will, with the psalmist, enter His courts with thanksgiving, give Him the praise, and bless His name because He is good, because His mercy endures for is everlasting, and because His truth endures to all generations. If God had not so blessed us with those things, with His goodness, with His mercy, with His truth, we would all be eternally lost. We would be in this life without hope, without God, and yet now in the Son, we have that hope. In the Son, we have that mercy. In the Son, we have truth that has been revealed to us and that is available to us. And so, we turn our attention to that truth this morning and encourage you, if you're here and not a Christian, that you obey the gospel of the Son, that you submit your heart and your life to the truth, and that in that submission to truth, then living in that truth, you will find the blessing that God grants, and that in turn, you will bless His name, even as this particular Psalm 100 we've just read together. If you need to obey the gospel and become a Christian, do it this morning. Don't put it off. Don't delay it. If you're a Christian, though, and you know that you really haven't been living in thanksgiving to God, you've really been indulging yourself and not recognizing that those things of life are from God and that, in fact, your life in Christ has been neglected by you, then repent of that. That needs to be, that's a sin. And we want to demonstrate that at the very beginning. We want to encourage a repentance. Repenting is changing our hearts. You see, if our heart is not changed, our mind is not changed, then we'll never be thankful to God as we ought. We'll never be able to give thanks to God that He deserves. So thanksgiving comes from a heart of faithfulness, of gratitude, a heart that is first given to God. And so with that in mind, and the call of the gospel for us to get our hearts right with God if they're not right, I want to turn your attention to the sin of ingratitude for just a moment. We've got to realize, we need to know, that ingratitude, that is unthankfulness, is a sin. In Romans, the first chapter, and in verse 23, it refers to people who, actually it's verse 21. Romans 1 and verse 21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. In 2 Timothy 3, and I think it's about verse 2, we read about those who are unthankful and unholy, and the sins that the other sins it's associated with. Ingratitude is an infectious sin because it infects and shows the infection of a heart that does not recognize the source of the blessings that it has received and is receiving. Jesus was appealed to, begged by a lot of people in His life to heal them. People would throng around Him, press upon Him. And sometimes you remember the woman who had the issue of blood. She just reached out and touched His garment and she was healed by His power. There were lepers who often sought healing or was brought to Jesus for healing. And in Luke's 17th chapter, we read about some of those. Jesus was traveling from the north through Samaria to Jerusalem, from Galilee through Samaria, and He travels through the villages there along the way. And it says that as he was passing through, he entered a village, verse 12, and there met him 10 men who were lepers and who stood afar off. See, they were to stand apart and say unclean. They were not to be coming near the people because of their leprosy. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he told them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they did that. They went. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." See, 9 out of the 10 didn't even go back and say thank you in gratitude. Now, you know, that ought to make an impression upon us when we begin to ponder what God has done for us when we were still His enemies. See, when we were still in sin, God commended His love toward us in the death of Jesus, Romans 5. It is a sin not to be thankful to God. It's not about a holiday once a year where we all gather around and eat turkey and we're thankful. Gratitude, thankfulness is a daily activity of the person who acknowledges God, who knows God, who believes in God, and lives in Jesus Christ, the Christian. Thanksgiving is to be a part of our makeup. It's to be an element of our faith because we grasp the depth of the love of God. You see, Ephesians, the third chapter we've studied recently, is to grasp the height, the length, the depth, the breadth of the love of God that's in Christ. It compels us to be thankful. Let me take you back 3,000 years from today. Back to an occasion when King David led the people of God in bringing the Ark of Jerusalem, the Ark to Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant. There was a great celebration. It's recorded in 1 Chronicles 13 through 16. It's also, of course, in 1 Kings as well. That should be 2 Samuel is where it's located as well. I want to turn your attention to a couple of passages here. Because this is embedded within that story, you remember, is Uzziah, who, as they were transporting the ark on the cart, and the oxen stumbled, and he stayed it. He reached up and touched it so it wouldn't fall, and God struck him dead. And now they are consulting the proper order and following God's will in the matter of transporting the ark, and now God is blessing them. And we pick up the reading, 1 Chronicles 15, 26, it says, "Oh, when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chenaniah, the music master with the singers. And David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the horn, with trumpets, with the cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps." And so there is a great joy, there is a great rejoicing and celebration of thanks. In fact, David assigned some of the Levites in chapter 16, verse 4. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. So they are appointed to give thanks to God. David brought this great assembly to Jerusalem, bringing the ark, but he didn't forget to thank God. In fact, it was a celebration of thanksgiving when it occurred. Now, this was a great thing because the ark had been in the hands of the enemies, the Philistines, and for a long time, and then it had stayed in the house of Obed-Edom for 20 years, I believe. And so this was a great event in their history. signifying the presence of God and the blessing of God with them. Now, pardon me, now all that, and in the process of that, pardon me, is in chapter 16, is David takes up a song of thanksgiving. And beginning about verse 23 and through verse 33 is the text of Psalm 96. It is a call to thanksgiving. And we're going to, to turn our attention to the 96th Psalm, which again is recorded in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. We're going to go to the 96th Psalm and use it as our text here for a few minutes to reflect upon some of the reasons we need to be thankful. Some of the reasons why we give thanks to God, and some of the reasons why if we are not giving thanks to God, that we need to start. And if we're doing those things that should express thanks, that we be careful that our heart is in fact doing that as we're involved in these things. For instance, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth." Our singing is an expression of thanksgiving. When we sang our songs this morning, did they reflect a heart of gratitude? For instance, "How shall the young secure their heart and guard their lives from sin?" Are we thankful in the process of that singing that God has given a word that protects the young and the old? You see, go back and look at those words again. And you see reflected in there is an acknowledgement that God has given the word of truth by which the young can guard their heart. Now, young and old, we need to be thankful to God for that. Our singing is an expression and celebration of thanksgiving as we acknowledge God is the one who gives us the means by which we are guarded from sin, because when we're not guarded from sin, we lose our soul eternally. And so, in our singing, there's an expression of thanksgiving. Yes, I understand there's admonition, there's instruction, but it all comes from a heart of being thankful. David says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth." You see, God has blessed us to bring the ark back to His people, to the midst of His people, bring it to Jerusalem. And we sing praises of thanks to Him. You see, in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Paul said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So, in our speaking to one another in songs, we are making melody in our heart, but you see, we're giving thanks always as well. It's an expression of thanksgiving. If our mind is someplace else when we are singing, we are not thanking God in song. We are demonstrating ingratitude to God at that very moment, of which we need to repent, of which we need to focus our attention, that when we sing, we're singing thanksgiving. So, let me ask you this. When you really are thankful to somebody, do you mumble your thanks? So how are we singing to God? Are we singing with thanksgiving? Are we really letting other people sing to us, and we're really not singing to God, much less speaking to others? Singing is an important part of worship, and because it expresses thanksgiving to God. I want to challenge every one of us to sing out. Why do we say that? Sing out. So we make a lot of noise? No, but rather that it comes from a heart that is given fully to be thanking God for what He has done and what He is doing for us. David talked about a new song. It's a new song in terms of quality, back there in that psalm, the 96th psalm, or 1 Chronicles 16, as the case might be. Let's go to 96 and read that again and note. He says, Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Had they never sung before?
It wasn't about never sung before. It was about quality. It was about the freshness. It was about the uprightness of the heart in the thanksgiving.
Look at Psalm 33 and verse 1. Psalm 33 and verse 1. The psalmist wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." Praise from the upright is beautiful. See, a praise of thanksgiving to God, as we sing, God says a beautiful thing. That's what we want to be getting to here in our singing. Such songs express victory and deliverance. Moses, remember, in Exodus 15 chapter, talks word of the song, led the Israel in song. It was a song of victory, a song of deliverance, as God had delivered them from the Egyptians. The singing that we sing and that we see pictured in Revelation chapter 14 and in verse 3 of the redeemed with the Lamb on Mount Zion. It says they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the living creatures, before the four living creatures, the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So they sing a new song. It was a song of Moses and the Lamb, chapter 15, verse 3, which is a song of deliverance. God has redeemed us from sin. We thank Him in song. We praise His name. See, our songs do that, and so God expects that of us. God expects us to sing with thanksgiving. And so we have to examine ourselves. Am I giving God the thanks, the acknowledgement, the recognition, the gratitude in song? For all the great deliverance and blessings come from His hand to our lives every single day. Thanking God, we ought to thank God for His character and blessings as we worship. Have you thought about thanking God because He is God? I think that's kind of the thought here. We thank God very often for all the blessings He's given to us. And there are many. We count those blessings. Our homes, our clothing, our food, our shelter, things like that. We count the material blessings, and we count the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. Perhaps it would do us well to realize the need to thank God because He is God. Thank God for being God, because of His character. For if He were not God, those blessings would not come to us, would not be granted to us, will not be available to us. Go back to the Psalm 96 and verse 2 and see this with me. And it says, "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the earth. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." This is what David is leading Israel in, as they have brought the ark to Jerusalem and God has greatly blessed His people. He says, thank God for His character, for His blessings. Thank Him for His power. You see that in verses 2 through 5? It is the power of God that we need to be thanking Him for. Look at this power on display in salvation. Proclaim the good news of His salvation. Yes, God has saved them from their enemies on that day. God saved Israel from the enemy of Egypt. And Moses sang the song of deliverance in Exodus 15. God has saved us from sin and death.
We have spiritual victories. All these psalms and many more, they talk about the salvation that comes from God. Israel experienced salvation from the enemies that were around them, and all of that depicts our deliverance from sin and Satan. That we are able to thank God for a salvation, for a deliverance that we can never achieve ourselves. We can never build an army ourselves to defeat sin and death. Jesus does that for us. God, in His great love and mercy toward us, everlasting mercy, His goodness, He deserves our unending thanks because of the power by which we are saved.
We start thanking God. Thank Him for His power. Because if He was not the great God, we would be lost. If it were not for His power, we would have no direction, no guidance, no instruction of truth and righteousness. You see, no one to save us. Those lepers who said, "Lord, Master, save us," they acknowledged the power in Jesus. They just didn't go back and thank Him for it. You see? Well, we've had that power of God working in us that raised us out of spiritual death on our way to hell. And God's power rescued us. God's mercy and grace in the Son delivers and saves us. And will we not turn back and say, "Thank you, God, for your power"? We must do that. To do otherwise is to be ungrateful, unthankful. And do we really think that unthankful people are going to live eternally with God in heaven? Do we really believe that we can disregard gratitude? God wants us to be thankful, doesn't He? That's why we teach our children to say, "Please and thank you." Teach your children to say, "Please and thank you." Teach them gratitude. To be thankful. Because somebody's power has given you every blessing that you have. You see, and it's God's great power that has blessed us with all things in His Son. The power of God is displayed in His glory. The honor and splendor of God. There are many, many psalms that speak to that. Psalm 96 and verse 3 says, "Declare His glory among the nations. Declare His honor. Declare His splendor." You see, a recognition of who God is and what God has done demands that we honor Him by the thanks that we give Him, by the worship that we ascribe to Him. Look at these Psalms quickly. Psalm 29 and verse 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." You see, if we give God the glory that He is due, then we're going to come before God in holiness. We're not going to give Him hypocritical worship or vain worship or self-defined worship. You see, we're going to give Him the worship that He desires. We're going to offer Him worship in spirit and in truth. It's going to be reflective of our recognition that He is the one with honor. And He's due the honor from us. And we thank Him for His honor, for His glory. Psalm 72 and 19 says, "Blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory." The glory of God is seen everywhere around us. That is His splendor. Why He ought to be honored. Psalm 115 and verse 1 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Your name give glory. Because of Your mercy, because of Your truth." Why should the Gentiles, or why should the nations say, "So where is their God?" You see, when we fail to thank God for His glory, to honor and regard Him, we give cause for the unbelievers to stay in unbelief. They say, "Well, where is their God?" They don't even regard their God. They don't show honor to their God. They don't put Him first in their life. They don't trust His mercy. They don't regard His truth. They don't see him as honorable. Is that the message we are conveying? Is that the message we want to convey by the way we live? By the choices of our life? Rather, let us show gratitude. Let us show thanksgiving for the great honor that God is due, that He possesses by His very nature, by His very being. And thank Him that He has shown us who He is. He has shown us what He does and what He will do. And remember, too, that Jesus said, the Son is to be honored just as the Father. John 5:23. Jesus said, the same honor that goes to the Father goes to the Son. He that does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. He says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. So, turning back and thanking Jesus for the healing was a recognition on the part of that healed leper that Jesus was worthy of honor, that His power had been on display and He benefited from it. And so He was thankful for that power and that blessing. You see, when we worship, we are ascribing the honor to God that He is due. And if we have forgotten that, if worship to us has become something that we just have to show up to, then let us on bended knee, with contrite, humble hearts, ask God to forgive us, to repent of that kind of thinking, that kind of living. Because you see, it's in our worship of a recognition of His power that we're to ascribe to Him the glory He is due, the thanks for the deliverance that His power has given us. And thank Him for the wonderful works that His power accomplishes. See, that's what verse 3 goes on to say in the psalm. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. Declare it. Make it known. Declare His creative power. Declare His redemptive power. Declare His sustaining power. Psalm 136 goes into great detail about all those things and more. Declare by your worship and your life that you recognize God is a powerful God. He's an almighty God. He's the God that is sustaining us. Here's our response. Verses 4 and 5. Praise and fear. Did you see this? Psalm 96, 4 and 5. Here's how we respond to the power of God. To save us, to show His glory, and to acknowledge His wonders. He says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He's to be lifted up. He's to be feared among all gods. There is no God but one. We're to give Him the acknowledgement He's due, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. James 1:17. And we're to give Him reverence and trust Him, put our faith in Him. Psalm 34, verse 19, or verse 9. Psalm 34 in the 9th verse. The psalmist said, O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want, there is no lack to those who fear Him. Fear the Lord. You know, reverence God. That's our response. If we, in pondering God's power to save us, God's power to sustain us, God's power that shows His honor in creation and in all His wonderful works, if we don't bow before Him and thank Him for those things, it shows we don't have any trust in Him. It shows we don't have faith in Him. It shows we don't fear Him. It shows we're not yet praising Him as He deserves to be praised. You see, thanking God for Himself, for His power, what He has done in His power, is to be on display when we thank God for all the blessings that He's given us. It's an acknowledgement. You're the power. You're the source of the blessing, God. Secondly, he goes on to talk about thankful, being thankful for the dignity of God. Back there in Psalm 96, he says in verse 6, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come unto His courts, into His courts. So worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
God's dignity. God is not a vile God. He is not a corrupt God. He is not a sensual God. He is a God of holiness. Completely pure and undefiled.
And so the psalmist David puts that in contrast to God of the Philistines.
There were no gods at all. Gods of the Amorites. They were no gods.
You see, when we thank God and we say, when we come before Him in worship, when we come in our daily life and we acknowledge God is present, we need to thank Him for the fact that He is a God of majesty. He possesses honor and holiness. And this is what we need. We don't need a God that is vile like the world. We need a God who lifts us above and out of the world. That's what He does, because that's who He is. And it's that dignity and that majesty that we need to thank Him for. Look, Psalm 104. In the first 5 verses, look at this psalm. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great." Can you hear the psalmist singing this? We sing that, "O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works Your hands have made." We sing these things. It is a reflection of a gratitude of heart that we have toward His honor and majesty. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover Yourself with light as with a garment who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. You see, You are the one who made the earth, made the waters, made the sky.
So that's in contrast to the vile gods of men, who are no gods at all.
So we honor Him, we thank Him for His strength and His beauty. Verse 6,
nothing's too hard for God. We thank Him for that. It is not too hard for God to take you and me, who are vile sinners, and save us in His Son. It wasn't too hard. Honor and majesty, with strength and beauty, He did that. And so our response to God's dignity is to worship with thanksgiving, to recognize all the greatness of our God.
So when we thank God, when we give thanks to God, let us thank Him for His power. Let us thank Him for His dignity. Because if it were not for those elements, then there would be no blessing to us. There would be nothing to be thankful for. And finally, verses 10 through 13 of Psalm 96. We need to thank God for His judgments. You know, this is particularly compelling for us to be able to develop a faith that is grateful for the judgments that God has shown us and that God makes. Say to the nations, the Lord reigns. So here's a recognition of the authority of the Lord. He rules. The Lord also, the world also is firmly established. It will not be moved. He established the world. And it says, He shall judge the peoples righteously. So we need to give thanks that God's judgments are righteous. He will judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all of its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. That all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. Why? For He is coming. For He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with His truth. We need to thank God for His truth and His judgments that are revealed in His truth because they're righteous. They're equity. Verse 12, the old man of standing says, He will judge with equity. In other words, we have a fair God. We have a just God. He's going to judge righteously. His judgments are righteous.
Romans 2 and 5, many other verses. He judges with fairness. Isn't that a great blessing?
Isn't it great to know that God has revealed His judgments to us so that we can know them and we are assured that they are fair, that they are impartial, and they are just? Because people don't judge fairly. No, they don't. A man can conspire and be a part of killing hundreds and hundreds of people and bombs in U.S. embassies and acquitted, but all but one charge. I mean, where's the fairness? Where's the equity? Where's the justice? But God is going to rule all the nations. God's going to rule every soul, or judge every soul, because He rules the nations. And so we can trust that His judgments are right. You see, we can go to His Word and we can find out what truth is. Problem is, we don't want to go to God for the truth, so we don't thank Him for the judgment He's revealed. I mean, after all, how are we going to be thankful for the judgments of God when we don't agree with the judgments He's made? The first thing, first order of business, is to align ourselves with the judgments of God. You see, our judgments have to be like His judgments. We can't condemn others and by that condemn ourselves because we practice the same things. We've got to submit to, yield to, and accept the judgments of God. Then we can be thankful. Then we can be grateful that God has shown us what His judgments are. Because you see, after all, we're going to be judged according to that truth ourselves. Romans 2 and verse 2. Romans, the second chapter, and the second verse, the apostle said, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. When was the last time we said, God, thank you for your judgments? Thank you for your judgments that reveal what your will is to me about how to be saved, about how to live a moral life, about what true worship is. See, about how I can come before you in holiness. What your will is for my life. Thank you for your judgments.
A lot of people think they're going to escape judgment somehow. But God's judgment, remember, we sing the song, Psalm 19:9, God's judgments are true and righteous altogether. Altogether righteous. That removes chaos. It presents stability. Fairness, that's what we put our faith in. See, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God because God's judgments are true. They are righteous. They are upright. They are equitable. And we thank Him. We ought to be thanking Him for them because they're going to show us how to be saved and how to walk with Him and how to be with Him eternally. Moving the ark is a prime example. David now is thanking God for His judgments. But you see what happened? When they didn't follow God's prescribed order, Uzzah was killed, struck down dead. Because they didn't bear it upon their shoulders, the Kohathites put the poles through the rings of the ark. They touched it. He touched it. And God's judgment was applied. God had told them what His will was. They hadn't followed the prescribed order. And they were not blessed. I just don't like that judgment. I don't agree with that judgment. Surely there's got to be a different way. No. David said, turned them back to, and they went back to God's Word, and then God helped them, it said. Back there in 1 Chronicles 15:26. God helped them bring the ark when they did it His way. You see, when we're willing to submit our hearts and our lives to the way of God, to the Word and truth of God, it's an acknowledgement that God's way is right. It's putting our trust in what God has said, what God has revealed. Now we just need to also, in all of that, be thankful. Don't forget to thank God that He's taught us the right way, that He's shown us, in the words of Jesus Christ, what the proper order is. Because if we reject that, we're going to be judged by the Lord Jesus in the last day. And we'll lose our souls forever. So let us thank God for His judgments. And we gather family and friends
on a holiday once a year, but also as we gather here on the Lord's Day and at other opportunities. And when we bow on bended knee, when in private to our God we pray, let us be thankful. Thankful for His power. Thankful for His dignity and honor by which He blesses us and sustains us. Thankful for His judgments, because by them we are brought into eternal blessings and guarded against sin. Thankful in song to sing and to remember. That is from hearts of gratitude that we turn back, having been blessed by God, and say, thank you. Thank you. Colossians 2 and in verse 7. The Word of God says in verse 6, Colossians 2, 6 beginning, having therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in it. Did you receive the Lord with thanksgiving? His salvation with gratitude? Well, he says, so walk in Him now, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in the faith with thanksgiving. Brethren, we can know the truth, but if we're not living thankfully toward God, then we're not abounding in it. We're not yet in the faith as we ought to be. We need to repent. We need to be thankful people. Let us give thanks to the Lord every day of our lives. Let us give thanks as we assemble in song and praise and prayer, remembering that God is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You need to obey the gospel of Jesus. Respond to Him. Come to the Lord with thankful hearts. Receive His blessings now. Become a Christian. Repent of your sin. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian as God's child and you haven't been thankful like you know you should be, make a change. Repent of that before the Lord. It's private between you and Him. Repent before your Lord. Go to Him in prayer. And then make the change in your life. And live in gratitude and thanksgiving. If we can help you in that, if we can pray together about that, we ask you to respond while we stand and sing.